Today's daf Sefer Zara, daf Ayin Hey, the second to last daf in Masech Sefer Zara. We are on daf Ayin Dalid Amud Beis. We left off by Rava, which is about six lines before the end of the page, on daf Ayin Dalid Amud Beis. We just made a chiluk yesterday at the end of the shir between kelim that are machnisa l'kiyum and kelim that are not machnisa l'kiyum. Those kelim that you keep things in for a long time, which may require, in order to make sure that they're kosher, may require a greater level of kashering than kelim that are not machnisa l'kiyum, that are that wine just passes through, but wine is not meant to be kept in there. So along those same lines, the Gemara tells the following: Rava kiyav mishadur gufi laharpanya. When Rava would send jugs to harpanya, meaning he was sending jugs in a way that ovdei kochavim were presumably the delivery men, so they had it in their possession for a while, so he would do the following. So Rashi explains what this means is kofa osan shuleyan lamala upian lamata. He would turn the kelim upside down, where the bottom of the kli was facing up, the mouth of the kli was facing down, meaning the opening of the kli was facing down. Mishum chosum to chosum, and he did this before he put it in the bag, so that when he put it in the bag, it was considered a chosum to chosum, because when you open the bag, the kli is not there ready for use. You then have to turn it upside down. You have to turn it right side up in order to be able to use it. Vchosum lo abirtzayu chosum es piasak klape shuleyan. He would tie closed the bag, meaning the opening of the bag would be on the bottom of the kli, so it wasn't so that way it was that's considered a chosum b'tol chosum. Made it that much more inconvenient for the person who was delivering it to be able to use it, because he not only has to open the bag, he then has to turn the kli upside down. So kasavar, because he holds called davish machnisa l'kiyum afilu fisha gosu be'rabbanan, that anything that you machnisa l'kiyum, even if it's l'fisha, even if in this particular instance the guy is only going to have it l'fisha, but if the kli is the type of kli that's used as machnisa l'kiyum, the rabbanan made a gzera that you have to be extra careful with it, and therefore you need to do chosam to chosam. If you look at Tosos says shamina mehacha di yisrael ashrei chavios reikanios bebeis ovid kachavim omei early ear. If a Jew sends empty barrels in a house of an Ovid Kochavim, or from city to city, Kedei L'Saknan, to send it to the repair shop, and it's in the hands of a guy, Sarich L'Chosman Mibifnim B'Gachelas or Be'Evan Raka Shikev and Sid Kedei She'enikram Ovid Kochavim Nosin Tochen Yayin. You have to do something that will make it evident whether it was used or not while it was out of your possession. So that's, Tosa says, we get that from our Gemara, that Rava was very careful that when a kli is left in the possession of an Ovid Chavim, they have to worry he's going to use your kelim. Miu yesh litchos to dafka l'dithu shoyu chavio shalem ketanim v'nochem lasis l'tochen yayin ularosu miyad. He says, but it could be that there's a big difference between their kinds of chavios and our kinds of chavios. The chavios that the Gemara was talking about were very small, and it was very easy to use just temporarily, quickly, put some wine in there, pour the wine out, and it was something that was very quick. Aval chavio shalem But our chavios, which are much larger and are not so easy to just use so quickly in and out, so then there's no concern that the guy is going to take a giant barrel and fill it with wine for just a couple of minutes or for just a short time, and therefore it does not require chasima. But Tosfos says that's a svara, but mikol makom tov lahachmir. But still, it's a svara. I don't have any rayas to that svara, and still, therefore, it's tov lahachmir. So this sounds like a very major issue: leaving kelim in the hands of ovdei kochavim. What about when we have an ovid kochavim, but a non-Jew, a nachri in our house, and we leave the house, and we have a babysitter, a housekeeper, who's left there unattended with all of these kelim, with all of our kelim certainly available to her? Do you have to worry about that? So the Mordechai writes, Kishemolichim sakinim lahashchiz. Mordechai speaks about in some tough lamed gimel, if you bring knives to get sharpened in the Beis HaUman by a person who sharpens knives, and you're going to get them back that day, so it's vaday rogilish tamishbo. It's certain that the guy definitely uses it, and since the Jew is not standing with him the whole time as he's sharpening the knives, you're going to need to do agala on those knives when you get them back. And that's what Rabbeinu Tam, Rabbi Mordechai quotes Rabbeinu Tam as well, that Rabbeinu Tam was machmir with these things, even more than the kelim of the akum themselves. And he says you have to be very careful. Lola haniach, here's the key, kidei rosu ka'aros bebeis akum. He says you have to be very careful not to leave your pots, your pans, in the house of a guy. It sounds like the iser is dafka when it's in their house. But when it's in your house, to be concerned that they are then going to go out, buy non-kosher stuff to bring into your house and then put in your kelim, where you live there and you can come at any time, so then it's much less likely a concern. In Shulchan Aruch, in Yardeh, Kuf Chav Beis, Sif Tes, it says, Yesh li zar mil niniach bebeis akum klei suda, dechashin neshem yishtamish bem. You have to be careful not to leave klei suda in the house of an akum, because we're afraid that maybe the guy is going to use it. And the Bir Hagra quotes our Gemara, our Tosos, and the Ramah says, even if you only give it to an Uman to be Misakein, you still need to make some sort of simen to make sure that he's not Mishtamish, to make sure that he doesn't use it, which obviously comes straight from our Tosos. So you need to do some sort of simen, but some sort of simen sounds like only Chosam Echad. From Rashi over here, it sounds like you need Chosam Betel Chosam, you need a double simen to make sure that the person doesn't use it. Fine. Yesterday we were discussing for a while this idea of Minagvan, of sometimes you know that the kli was used, and you need to get rid of whatever yayin is in the kli. So we said, dry it out. So what does it mean to dry it out? So I pointed out yesterday that drying it out is not so simple. It doesn't just mean to take a towel and dry it out. So how does one dry out the kelim? So Rav Amar b'mayim, Rav says, ironically, the way to dry it out is by using water, is by rinsing it out, is what it really means, and then you dry out the water from it. So Rav Amar b'chana Amar b'efer, Rav Amar b'chana says you use ashes. Rav Amar b'mayim v'lo b'efer. Rav says you dry it out with water. Does he mean only water and not with ashes? Rabbi Bechad Amar Be'efer, Be'efer v'lo b'mayim, does he mean only with ashes and not with water? So why would one without the other be sufficient? Meaning, with the kasha and Rav, how could it be b'mayim v'lo b'efer? The Rashi points out, that's not just ironic, that's crazy, that's wrong. You don't dry things with water. You wet things with water. Bitmiya, mi mikri niguv, would you ever label that as drying? An afer alone, what's that going to do? You fill up a pot with ashes, and then you empty out the ashes. What exactly did you accomplish? If there's actual wine that's in the cracks and crevices of that kli, what did the afer accomplish exactly? So says the Gemara, Ella Rav Amar b'mayivu adin la'afer. Rav says you need to dry it out with water and also afer. Rav Amar chana Amar la'afer v'adin, or it should be be'afer v'adin la'mayim. You need to use afer and also water. V'lo pligian, in fact, they're not arguing, although one Rav says mayim and then efer, Rav Abrachana says efer then mayim, they're not arguing. Hara b'tivasa, habi abeshta. It depends whether there's moisture in it or there's no moisture in it. As Rashi explains, retivasa sheyesh malach luchas yayin, if there's still some moisture of the wine in it, then nosin efer tchila l'shafshef ad sheyten neguva. Then you put in efer to absorb whatever moisture there is, so it'll be totally dried out, v'achar kach mayim, and then you rinse it with water. Whereas bi'aveshta, where if it's dried up, then you need to loosen it by wetting it. So then you put the water in first, and then you put the afer and rub it with the afer and mishav shef, you rub it out. So that's the that's why they're not, that's how they are not arguing. Says the Gemara, Itmar be Rav Mishmei de Rav Amri Tarti Talas, that the way they would rinse it out was actually with two or three times. What does it mean, two or three? So Rashi explains, Birtivasa Tarti Afer Umayim, if it was moist, so then you have to use, it's a double cleaning process. First Afer, then Mayim. Biabeshta, if it was dry, it's a triple cleaning process, even though we only mentioned Mayim Afer, but it's actually Mayim, then Afer, then Mayim. Because what are you going to do? You can't just leave the afer in there, or even just empty it out. There's still going to be, you're still not going to get all the afer out. You certainly need to rinse it out again afterwards. So it would be mayim, afer, and mayim. Ushmuel amar, and Shmuel says, no, what Rav really meant is, tlas dalid, that when it's moist, you do afer, mayim, afer. And then obviously you're going to do mayim again afterwards, but that doesn't count, because that you're just doing not for the sake of kashering it, that you're just doing so that you don't have ashes in your kli when you use your kli. You don't want ashes to get in your food, so that one doesn't even count. But that's what. But certainly there would be another cleansing with water afterwards. When it's dry, you would do mayim, efer, mayim, efer. Now again, obviously you would then do mayim again to get the efer out, but we're talking about the actual kashering process would be mayim efer, that it's tlas dalid. So besura masunachi, that's the way they taught the machlokas between Rav and Shmuel in Surah. The Pumbedisa masnu, in Pumbedisa they taught the following. Be Rav Amri Mishmei de Rav, tlas dalid, Ushmuel Amri dalid vehei. That Be Rav said in the name of Rav that it's 3 and 4, and Shmuel says 4 and 5. Now, velo pligi, the surah and Pumbedisa are not arguing. Mar kachashav maya basrayu, mar lo kachashav maya basrayu. Question is, do you count the water that you rinse it out with at the end in the cheshbon? Meaning, they're just, one is talking, what does it take till the kli is kosher? And the other one is talking about, what does it take till you're going to use the kli? Because if you do efer, mayim, efer, obviously you still need to do mayim afterwards to rinse out the efer, but that's only to rinse out the efer, that's not to actually kasher it. So does that last mayim count in your cheshbon? Do you call that 3 or do you call that 4? So they're arguing about semantics, about how to call it, about how to label it, but they're not arguing about how to do it. They're not arguing about how to kasher it. So that's the whole machlokas. That's the whole explanation of the variance in lashon used to describe what is essentially the same thing. There's no machlokas here at all. That is the way Rashi initially explains our Gemara. He then gives a whole different explanation, which I don't want to get into, but I do want to point out that if you look at the second to last line, a skinny line of Rashi, he's quoting Lashon Abba Mori Menuchaso Kavod, V'hu Nira Be'enai, the only place, I believe, in Shas, where Rashi quotes his father. Rashi says, this I heard from my father, Menuchaso Kavod, and I think it's correct. I think what my father says is correct. In the Shema Gedolim, he proves from here that Rashi's father must have been a Talmud Chacham. You wouldn't know it from any other Rashi. Rashi never says anywhere. It's so strange. Never, the Torah quotes his father on every single page. His father was the Rash. So we're not sure who exactly was Rashi's father. Was Rashi's father a Talmud Chacham? So in the Taz has a Sefer on Chumash called Divrei David. In the Taz, Al HaTorah, on Parshas Bereishis, at the very beginning of Parshas Bereishis, he says, it's very strange, Rashi, in the very first Rashi on Chumash, quotes a Rabbeinu Yitzchak. A Rabbi Yitzchak, who talks about why does the Torah start with the Bereishis, why doesn't it start with Achodesh Zelachem? So he says that it's very interesting. That Rabbi Yitzchak is not found, the Rashi quotes in Bereishis, is not mentioned in any Medrash or in any Gemara anywhere. So the Taz says that there are those who say this must be Rashi's father, and that they build a whole story around that. That Rashi's father was not really a Lamdan, and Rashi wanted to be Mechabit his father, and he wanted to mention him in this great Sefer that he was writing. So he told his father, ask me a Kasha, just ask me any kasha and I'll write it down, and I just want to quote you. I want you in my book. So his father said, okay, why does the Torah start with the Bereishis? He wasn't a big London. Well, what kind of kasha is he going to ask? Why does the Torah start with the Bereishis? Anyone could have asked such a kasha. So he says, ah, excellent kasha. Why does the Torah start with the Bereishis and not with the first mitzvah of the Torah? So the Rashi made a whole story about it. So Divrei David says, no, you see from this Rashi that that's not true. You can't say that Rashi's father was an Amoritz and he didn't know why he wasn't a London. And Rashi quotes him in learning over here. He was learning of he wouldn't have been learning Avodah Zarah Daf Ayin Hei if he wasn't in London. I don't know why it's such a riot just because he learned Avodah Zarah Daf Ayin Hei and he had a pshat in the Gemara, but okay. So that's the Taz's riot. Bo minei Rabbi Avo. So they asked the following shayla from Rabbi Avo. Hani gurni darmai mai. The gurni that the Armenians use. The gurni is something that they would use on the wine press to hold in the peels and the sediment of the grapes while they were pressing the wine. It was like a lattice or a netting type of thing that would hold everything in. So Amar le Rabbi Avo, so can you use the gurni of Armenians, meaning non-Jews? Amar le Rabbi Avo Tanisua, we have a price that provides us with the answer to that question. Haresha Yugasim Beis Badav Tamein, if a person's wine press or olive press is Tamei, Ubikesh Asos Matar, and he wants to make a Tahar, Hadapin Vahadashin Vahalulavin Madichan. So the Dapin, which are the boards that they use for the wine press, the adashim, which the Rashi assumes is the gas itself, the press itself, the adashim, which Rashi says are these lulavim, are used as brooms, that they would somehow sweep up the grapes that would spread out. Sometimes they'd roll away, so you'd have these brooms to sweep them back into the pile. So all those things, madichan, all you need to do is rinse them off. V'ha'akolin, but the nets, which are the gorni, v'ha'akolin, the nets, shall nitzarim v'shal bitzbots, if they're made out of nitzarim or bitzbots menagva, then you dry them out. V'shal shifa v'shal gemi, but if they're made out of the materials of shifa and gemi, mi'yashnon yud beis chodesh, then you wait 12 months, you let them age for 12 months before using them. Ramashum amulia lomer, manichan migas l'gasum mibad l'bad. He says, no, you don't have to let them age 12 months, you let them go from one pressing season to the next pressing season without being used. Meaning if the Armenians used it during the pressing season of 2009, you wait until the pressing season of 2010 to use it. So ask the Gemara, isn't that the same? Hainu Tanakam, isn't that the same thing Tanakam just said? Tanakam said, let it sit 12 months. And Rishon Gamliel says, no, you wait from one pressing season to the next pressing season. Well, isn't that 12 months? It doesn't come every year, once a year. So Hainu Tanakam answered Gemara, no, Ikabinayu, sometimes it comes a little earlier, sometimes it comes a little later. Rav Shmuel Gamliel says there's no specific time that the din requires, which is a little bit strange, because you would imagine if it's about Tam leaving these kelim, so it would take a certain amount of time for the Tam to leave. But he says the way that Chazal instituted this din is that you're allowed to estimate based on the season. You're allowed to estimate based on the season. That will be the easiest way to track the din. He must hold it's a din of niyug, of how to do it, and that within that time period it's for sure gone anyway, but we're not going to be makel to do it sooner than the pressing season unless you come to do it even sooner than that. So that's always going to be the din, the pressing season, even if it's not a specific amount of time. Whereas Tanakama said, no, you have to wait an actual year. That's what you have to wait is an actual year. It's similar to the machlokas we have in regards to, we've discussed many times, in regards to Parsha Zachar, right? The Sefer HaChinuch says the Torah tells us to remember Amalek. It doesn't tell us how often to remember Amalek. Some stomach, it's once a year. So the question is, what does that mean, once a year? Does that mean that a human being forgets after 12 months? That's why I put up a matzeva. By 12 months, a matzeva has to be up. Because the assumption is that after 12 months, people tend to forget things. So does that mean that at the 12-month mark, okay, forgotten, and therefore you need to make sure that within 12 months the Parsha Zachar has been read? Or is it, no, you could just wait till next year? Nafkamina is a leap year. If there are 13 months between readings of Parsha Zachar, you have to make sure to read it again because 12 months pass by. So can you just estimate? No, it's by the year. It's just the kind of thing you have to do once a year. It makes a little more sense by Parsha Zachar. That's Maram Shik. Maram Shik thought, no, it's 12 months. Maram Shik has a Sefer HaMitzvos. He has three, his tshuvas come in three volumes. Two volumes are actual tshuvas, and one is like a Sefer HaMitzvos, like a commentary Sefer HaMitzvos, like a Minchas Chinuch type of Sefer. So in that Sefer HaMitzvos of the Maram Shik, he says that B'Shem is Rebbe, B'Shem Luchsam Sofer, that it's got to be 12 months, that by 12 months you have to do Parsha Zachar again. So that's why you have to, he says, Parsha Kisetze in the summer, you should remember to have in mind to be Yotze Parsha Zachar also. That's his Ha'ara. But it makes a little more sense over there that it's a chiyuv that could be imposed on mitzvah to do once a year. Over here it's about tam being balua in a kli, that the tam is going to leave sometimes after 12 and a half months, sometimes after 11 and a half months. A little bit more difficult. But this idea of waiting 12 months, Shulchan Aruch in Yerodea says, kol ha-kelim sheyesh in yisim kuf lamed hei sifta zayin, kol ha-kelim sheyesh in yud beis chodesh sharu, any kelim that were left for 12 months unused, our mutter, shevade kola kola lachluchas yayin shabem, because then you can be certain that any moisture of yayin is gone from them. Now he's talking about kelim that were used for yayin. He's not talking about kelim that were used for hot, that were used for cold. Right? We discussed yesterday with Eroi that maybe we could be more makel with kelim used for cold, that Eroi is going to suffice, that you could be kasher a gat, a wine press, by using boiling water. And we said the only practical way to really use boiling water is by Eroi Kli Rishon. So Tulsa said, Rashbam said, yeah, that's because it's something that was only used for cold. So used for cold, the Shulchan Aruch says, wait 12 months, and that is absolutely fine. Piskei Tshuva quotes in the name of the Tshuva's Bris Avram, that it has to be 12 lunar months, meaning each month, 29 days. So it's 12 months precisely, lav dafka a year. Right, but 12 months precisely. The Tshuvas Chacham Tzvi has the famous Tshuva, the famous Shita, the Chacham Tzvi, in Simen Ayin Hei, where he asks, why is 12 months enough? isn't there still mashka balua in them? So aren't there still blios? How does it get rid of blios when there's when you wait 12 months? He says what you have to say is that after 12 months, the whole aroma and the whole tam of those blios is completely gone. It becomes like afra bialma, becomes like the dust of the earth. And he therefore says, any kli, Chacham Tzvi says this really only as a b'dieved, but he says, b'dieved, any kli that was last used, even with hot, lavdafka with cold, was last used more than 12 months ago, the blios are considered to be completely nullified. The blios are considered to be completely gone. So kli, by definition, becomes kosher after 12 months. That's the sheet of the Chacham Tzvi. Obviously, we don't accept that l'chachila. We don't take treifa kalim and just wait 12 months and then use them, but we do use it as a sniff. We do use it as a tziruv to be makel. For instance, Rav Moshe had a famous psak when it came to China that you can't really kasher. So there is a das yachid in Rishonim that you're allowed to kasher China by doing hagala gimel pamim, by doing hagala three times. So Rav Moshe was mitzarif be makom hefsid gadol, and it's going to be a hefsid meruba to do hagala gimel pamim after waiting 12 months. Because then you have the Chacham Tzvi's 12 months, you have the Agala Gimel Pamim that might really work, plus Hefsid Meruba, so to be Somech on those Shitos. So we do use it sometimes as a sniff lahakel. I've heard Rabbanim tell people to only kasher dishwashers after 12 months, not to kasher that they can only kasher dishwashers after 12 months. What are they doing? Because they're relying on the old Metzius, when dishwashers used to be made out of Cheres, which hasn't been done in 20 years, but sometimes people get a certain sock in their heads and they just stick with it. But they used to be that the inside of dishwashers was made out of cheres, so they were relying on Moshe's psak. Cheres, 12 months, hagala gimel pamim, then you can kasher. Nowadays, it's made out of plastic or metal, so you can kasher it anyway, you kasher it right away. But okay, but that's a different story for a different time. Rabbi Yossi Amar Harotza L'Taran, Rabbi Yossi is back in the Gemara. Rabbi Yossi says, if someone who wants to be mitar them, miyad magilan berodchan, if you want to be mitar them right away, you don't want to wait 12 months, so then use hot, then magilan berodchan, then put boiling water in there, ocholten b'mezesim, or scald them with olive juice. So not olive oil, olive juice, the mezesim somehow, like I guess sometimes there's a little bit of liquid that comes out that's not actual oil. You just put it under a flow of water that the water is coming out strongly, or in a spring where the water is again flowing very quickly. The kama, how long do you leave it there flowing under moving water in order to kasher it quickly? Ona, you have to leave it there for an ona. The Gemara will get to how long that is. Ona just means literally time. You leave it there for a period of time. Kederuk shamru b'yayinesach, kacham ru b'taros. And the same thing we say about yayinesach, we say the same thing about taharos, the Brisa comments. It says, Brisa, this whole Brisa has been about taharos. It hasn't been about yayinesach. Klap elaya, b'taros came in on. We've been talking about taharos. What do you mean? The same thing you say about yayinesach, so do you say about taharos. All the rules and regulations we just gave were about being metaher. Ela kederuk shamru b'taros, kacham ru b'yayinesach. So what we really mean to say is, the same that we say about taharos, so do we say about yayin nesach. This is very strange. Taharos, these things were tameh. If they're tameh, how does any of this help? This isn't cleaning from tumah. So that's what the Meiri is medayik, that what we're saying over here is you're talking about pshute kliyates. You're talking about the boards of the wine press. They don't really become tameh. It's not the tumah that the boards themselves become tameh. It's that balua in them is wine that is tameh. So we need to not be metaher the boards, but draw out the item that's tamei from within the board. So that's why it sounds more like kashering. So kama ona, how long is an ona? But we would do the same thing for yayin nesach. If it wasn't a tumah issue, right, obviously if there's yayin nesach, so the point is drawing out that wine and cleansing these kalim of the wine. Kama ona, how long is an ona that you need to leave it running under the running water? Am Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Am Rabbi Yochanan, O Yom O Laila. Just like Be'il Chasnida, by Vestos, you have an ona, there's a chiyuv of Prisha for a full ona, so the definition of an ona is either daytime or a nighttime. Rabbi Chana, there happens to be a chumrah that the Shach quotes in the name of the Arzurua, the Gabi Hilchas Nida, that some people do an additional ona, not just a daytime or a nighttime, but a daytime and a nighttime. In yeshivish circles, this is taught as the must, as everyone does this. In YU circles, it's not. It's taught that it's a chumrah. If you look in Shulchan Aruch, it's obviously a chumrah. The question is, some communities accepted it, some communities did not accept it. But that's based on a different thing. That's not based on what the definition of ona is. That's based on the idea that that it used to be, the Shach claims that it used to be that in the times of the Gemara, women were able to predict when they're going to get their period, literally to the minute, or to the hour at least. They would be able to predict what hour of the day they were going to get their period. So the Ona that was Samach Levesta, the Ona that surrounded, that was around the time of when she knew she was going to get her period, was that whole daytime period. She knew it was going to come 2 o'clock this afternoon. But the Ona is the whole day. Nowadays, you can't really predict with such accuracy to the hour. The time that you could predict is basically it's going to come Tuesday sometime, let's say. So the Ona Samach Levesta would be the previous Ona. That's where the Shach comes from. But the word Ona itself, in that context, just like in this context, means either a daytime period or a nighttime period. Rav Chana Shi'ina Va'amri La Rav Chana Bar Shi'ina Amar Rabba Bar Bachana Amar Rabbi Yochanan Chatzi Yom V'chatzi. So he says it's half a day and half a night. It's not a full daytime period nor a full nighttime period. You take half the day, half the night, put them together, that's an Ona. They both say you need 12 hours. Question is, let's say it's winter time, so the day is very, very short. Can you say that an Ona is one full daytime period? No, that's not an Ona. When you're talking about Kasher and Kelim, it doesn't make any sense that in the winter time you should be able to Kasher them in 8 hours under running water, but in the summertime you need 14 hours under running water. That doesn't make any sense. So the requirement is 12 days. When you're at the equinox, when it's exactly 6 hours, on a perfect 6 to 6 day, so then you could pick Yom or Laila. On any other day of the year, take exactly half the day and exactly half the night, and you'll end up with 12 hours. So they're not that's what they're both saying. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Hani Ravki Darmai, the sieves that were used by Armai, by the Armenians, right, the Ravki Rashi says Mishmeres Kminsakin, like these kinds of bags, Shinosman Shmarim Lahotzias Yenon, where they would put the sediment of the grapes in order to squeeze out the wine that might be left in them. So Demazia, if they're made out of human hair, Madichan, then you rinse them off. Rashi says, why Madichan? If they're made out of Shalseir Adam, Velobali Tuva, and they're not Balea very much. Very similar to the concept we have in Masechta Shabbos, where the Gemara says, Ein Schita Beseyar, that there's no Isser of Schita on hair, because the hair itself doesn't really absorb. It just looks like it absorbs because they're packed tightly together and looks like there's water absorbed, but the water is really just trapped in between the individual strands of hair. But they're not really Balea. It's interesting that Rashi says, Velobali Tuva. Why does he add that last word in? I would have said, Velobali, hair's not Balea. But he says, no, it is Balea a little bit, not enough that it's going to be an Isser Schita, apparently. Midar Raisa, Midar Rabbanan, which still goes there that it's also to do Schita B'Seyar. It's no Isser Schita. But anyway, so that's what he suggests. When it comes out of human hair, so all you need to do is rinse it off, because the hair didn't absorb anything anyway. The Amra, if it's made out of wool, Minagva, then you dry it out. The Kisna, made out of linen, Miyashna, you age it. You let it sit for 12 months. The Ika Kitri, Sharilhu, if there are any knots, you need to untie the knots. Hani Dakule, these baskets, V'chalasa Darmai, and Chalasa is another type of basket that were made by Armenians. Techiti B'chavli D'tzuri Madichan. The change on the side? Dechaiti, yeah. Dechaiti b'chavli d'tzuri. If it's tied up with the ropes of tzuri, with these ropes of tzuri dekel, of palm branches, madichan, then you rinse it off. Ditzav salinagvan, if it's made out of a type of gemi, then you would dry it out. Dikisna miyashna, if it's made out of linen, you would be miyashin again for 12 months. V'i isbu kitri sharilu, and if there are any knots, you would untie the knots. Itmar amar shoshid yadol legas v'nagabesh kolos. Let's say an amar sticks his hand into your wine press and he touches a cluster of grapes in the wine press. Rabbi Chia, chadam re eshkol v'kol sivosav tamein v'kol legas kula tahora. Rabbi and Rabbi Chia machlokas. One of them said that the cluster that he touched and the surrounding area is tamei, but the whole gas is really tahor. The chadam re kol legas kula nami tamein. The other one says no. If he touches one cluster of grapes in your wine press, everything in the wine press is automatically tamei. So the man re eshkol v'kol sivosav tamein v'kol legas kula tahora. If you hold that everything else is tar, that it's only that immediate area that's going to be tamei. Well, why is that so? Mishnah, why is that any different from the following Mishnah? Sheretz shenimtza bereichayim. If you find a sheretz in a mill, Einu metame elamako maga'o. It only is metame the area that it touches. But we then qualify in the Mishnah. If it's wet, if there's liquid spread throughout the mill, then everything is tame. The liquid is mitstaref, everything that's in there, and the whole thing's going to be tame. So isn't a wine press by definition a case where there's mashkin mahalech? Isn't a wine press by definition a case where there's liquid there that's mitstaref, everything that's in the wine press, and therefore when the amaretz touches a single eshkol, shouldn't that therefore mean that the entire wine press becomes tamei? So says Gemara, no, hasam lamifsik v'lamidi. By the mill, we're talking about a case where there's nothing mafsik between one area and the other. Hachamifsky eshkolos. Over here, there are a whole bunch of big clusters that are mafsik between the different pools of liquid. So therefore, we don't consider the liquid to be mitzdarif everything. So the Rabbanan paskin either for Rabbi Yirmiyah or for Rabbi Yirmiyah's son that we happen to be makel on this. And we hold that if Namaritz touches an eshkol in the wine press, only that immediate area is tame. Everything else is going to be tar. Okay, now we start the last Mishnah in the Masechta, which relates to Tvilas Kelim. All of Tvilas Kelim comes out of this next sugya, this coming sugya. Obviously, we're not going to do all of Hilchos Tvilas Kelim. There's a whole sefer, beautiful sefer called Tvilas Kelim that has everything you ever wanted to know about Tvilas Kelim. But we'll just at least see the Gemara that's associated with Tvilas Kelim. I have a bunch of shirim on Tvilas Kelim. Maybe sometime we'll get into it. Halokeach klei tashmish min avdei chavim. If a person purchases klei tashmish from avdei chavim, person purchases regular kelim from an avdei chavim. So Esh darko lahatpil yatpil, lahagil yagil, lelabin ba'or yelabin ba'or. Very interesting phrasing of the Mishnah. If the derech is to be matpil them, then just be matpil them. If the derech is to do agala with boiling water and kasher it that way, so kasher it. And if the derech is that it needs libun, that you need to burn it out with fire, so then do libun on it. So the Rashi quickly points out, the first is not like the next two. Lahatbil is not the same as lahagil labin. Lahatbil says klomar kliya roy l'tayr bitvila ein sarach tikun acher kigom kli tashmish lali detzonin yatbil v'silot sarach. The first category of the esher derech lahatbil means a kli that was either never used or never used for anything hot. So there are no blios whatsoever in the kli. It doesn't need to be kashered. All you need to do is bring it to kedushas Yisrael, be metayr it, whatever. So you do a tvila. But tevila is not really a form of kashering; it's its own separate inyan. So that's the hatpil yatpil. Lahagil yagil labin ba'ar ilabin ba'ar does not mean you don't also do tevila. The Gemara is going to point out when you kasher a kli, you also got to do tevila on the kli because the kashering and the tevila do not accomplish the same thing. Hashvud va'askala milabnan ba'ar. If you have a spit or an askala or like a grill, anything that's used only with fire to cook food on, so then you milabin ba'ar. Then you do libun on it. Hasakin shafa vihi tahara. If you have a knife, you rub it down, and then the knife will be tahar. Tana v'kula, so says the Gemara, Tana v'kula n'shrichan tvila barba b'sa. All the items mentioned in the Mishnah, even things that normally would require hagala and libun, you still need to do tvila barba b'sa, you still need to do tvila in the mikvah. So says Gemara minan emili, how do I know that that's so? Where do we ever find in the Torah that there's a chiyuv of tvila? Amar Rabba, Amar Kra, kaldover asher yavu be'esh, taviro be'esh v'taher. Anything that comes into fire, you should pass it through fire, v'taher. Why does it have to add v'taher? Just say, anything that was used, a grill that was used by a guy, a spit that was used by a guy, pass it through fire to kasher it. What's v'taher? What does that add? Hosef ha'kasef, tara acheres. The Torah is telling you that you require an additional tara, and that is tefillah b'mikvah. Tani bar kaparim mitoch shenemar b'mei nida shomea ani shetzarach hazal shlishi shvi. From the fact that it says that how you mitar it by putting it b'mei nida, so I would say mei nida means the efer paraduma that you need to sprinkle it shlishi shvi, like a person who became tamei lemeis, or like an item that became tamei lemeis. Tamalomer ach chilek. That's why the pasuk says ach. That's it says kaldar shiyav be'ish taviru be'ish v'teher ach b'mei nida yischata. That's how the pasuk reads. So since it says Af b'meini da'yischata, that tells you that you don't really need hazar shlishi l'shvi. You only need a tar b'mikvah. Imkin matal b'meini da. Why does it say b'meini da then? Why does it use that terminology? Mayim shenida tovelos ben. You need to put it in the kind of water that a nida, that an actual nida. We're not talking about efer paraduma. That a nida would be tovelin. Haviyom arba'im sa nidas tovelos and arba'im sa. So that's what you use. Use a regular mikvah of arba'im sa. Now we need both words. We need it to say v'taher and we need it to say b'mei nida to teach us that you need tevila b'mikva. Because ikas v'taher havamina v'taher b'kaldehu. Had it said v'taher, I would have said, yeah, anything. You can use any amount of water. You don't need 40 sa. Kas rachmana b'mei nida. That's why it says b'mei nida. V'kas rachmana b'mei nida havamina harav shemesh k'nida. Kas rachmana v'taher li'alter. If it would have said b'mei nida, I would think it follows all the laws of nida. Just like when a woman becomes a nida, she can't go to the mikva right away during that day. She needs to wait at least till Harav Shemesh, even though normally, meaning if she became a Zava Katana, let's say, she can't go to the mikvah right away. She needs to wait till Harav Shemesh. So I would think that the Kli also, when you buy the Kli, you have to wait a certain given time till nighttime or whatever before you can go to the mikvah. So that's why it says V'tayar Li'alter, that you could bring it to the mikvah right away. Amar Rav Nachman Amar Bar Avuah, Afilu Kelim Chadashim B'mashma. Even brand new Kelim you have to bring to the mikvah. So Yishanu B'Libnon K'chadashim Damu V'afilu Achim by tefillah, because if you have old kelim that you were melabein, that you did libun on, that's the same as new kelim, and still we see that it requires tefillah. So some of the achronim point out that it says what's kichadashim? Old kelim that you were melabein, the shach in your desim kuf chaval sifkat nizayin says you see libun is called that it's a new kli. Hagallah is why don't we use the example of Hagala, that Hagala is called it's a new kli. So he says that there's a big chilek between the way that Libun kashers and the way that Hagala kashers. Hagala draws out whatever is balua. Libun, whatever's in there, Libun just goes in and burns it. It's like a search and destroy. It goes in and burns out whatever's there. Hagala draws it out. It doesn't destroy it. It brings it out. Nafkamina is as follows. Let's say you have something, you have a barbecue grill that only half of the grate was used to roast pork. The other half of the grate was never used. So when you do libun, do you need to do libun on the entire grate or only on the half of the grate that was used for the pork? So since it's the way libun works is it goes in and destroys on that area, so the halacha is that you need to do libun on the entire thing, says the shach. Because when the tam goes in, the tam spreads. As long as there's some moisture, the tam is going to spread to the entire grate. Libun is only going to destroy where libun hits. Wherever you get it red hot, boom, that's where it's destroyed. Now, what about the rest of the grate? Didn't destroy anything there, so you need to do libun on the whole thing. But by Hagala, the assumption is that Hagala is kibolo kachpolto. The same way it's balaya, so that same level will draw it out. So let's say you use a spoon that you stuck the only half of the spoon into trefa chicken soup. So how do you kasher the spoon? So the halacha would be you would only need to stick that half of the spoon into boiling water, because the same way the tam went through the entire spoon in the in trafing it up, this is going to do the same thing in kashering it. Okay, maskar of sheshes iyachia filzuzu d'sar v'lanami says really any brand new kli that you buy from a guy you have to kasher. So when you buy an iPod, you have to tovel rather. When you buy an iPod, you should have to bring it to the mikveh and tovel it. When you buy anything, you know, a table, bring it to the mikveh and tovel it. So I'm like klei suda murim parsha. Now only kelim that are related to su'uda, kelim that you would use during the meal. Sounds like a very simple comment. Very complicated sugya in halacha. What's called klei su'uda, what's not called klei su'uda. Amar of Nachman Amar Baravua, lo shanu al belukuchim k'maisa shaya, avul shu'ulim lo. That's only if you purchase it, not if you borrow these kelim. Rav Yitzchak bar Yosef, zavin manad demarda meyav b'chavim, savar la'ad bila. He purchased manad demarda, which is a kelim made out of earthenware from avdei k'chavim, and he wanted to tovel it. Amar le'umar rabban of Rabbi Yaakov Shmei, l'idim, farsh l'meyav the only metal kelim need tevila. Amar Ravashi, hani klei zuchuch is olv kineshtar b'yeshan takana k'kli matlas tami. Glass kelim, since they can be fixed like metal kelim, have a din of kli matlas. Kunya, when you're dealing with a kli that's initially made out of cheres but is lined with some type of metal, pligi beravach of ravina, chadam k'tichlasim chadam k'sofo. It's machlokas whether it has a din of cheres or whether it has a din of metal. Vilch k'sofo, we pass on as a din of metal. That may have a lot to do with our plate, glazed china. Ibayilu, mashkanta mai. What if it's a mashkon? We spoke about if it's borrowed and if it's bought. What if you take it as a mashkon? Do you need to tovel it? I'm a member of Ashi. Mashkon leovet chavim kasa de kaspa va'atble, and he did tovel it. Ve'ishti be v'lo yadani, and he drank from it. V'lo yadani imishum de kasar mashkon kizvini dami imishum de chazi leovet chavim de daite l'shkue. He says, I'm not sure why he did it. I'm not sure if he held that a mashkon really is like buying something, or that he thought that the ovet chavim was never going to take it back, that he was going to leave it by him forever, and therefore this mashkon he was going to be considered kizvuni. So the Gemara never answers the kasha about a mashkon, leaves it unresolved. So Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we will do the last daf in the Sukkos of Odesa.